Now, we're going to go firstly to that statement that was issued from Áras an Uachtaráin last night, a notification that President Michael D. Higgins is to convene the Council of State on Monday to consider the proposed new Defence Amendment Bill. Now, according to the statement, the President wants to specifically consult with his Council of State members on those parts of the bill that propose to ban members of the Defence Forces from criticising government policy and also the conditions that would apply to them joining a representative organisation. It's only the fourth time in over a decade that the President has convened the Council of State. I've been speaking to Barry Crushell. He's a former captain in the Defence Forces, but is now a solicitor specialising in employment law. He began by outlining some of the concerns already expressed by members of the Army, Navy and Air Corps about the provisions of this new bill.
The Defence Forces in general and the representative associations are quite eager for a number of reforms to be implemented, but the wording of the proposed Act Section 11 is concerning. What Section 11 sets out is that members of the Defence Forces should not, without prior authorisation, make a public statement or a comment in relation to a matter of government policy. It goes on to further note that they should not attend a protest, a march or other gathering in relation to a political matter or a matter of government policy, or canvass or on behalf of collect any contributions for any political organisation or society, or attend or address a meeting of a political organisation or society. And while in general the Defence Forces and the representative associations are cognizant that they are subservient to the Minister for Defence and the government, members are concerned that the wording of this provision doesn't provide a sufficient amount of leeway for members to represent their own interests and criticise government policy where necessary in the interest of its members. And furthermore, taken to the extreme, it is possible that this provision could be used to censure individual members who stand on issues contrary to a government position. And for that reason, most members and the representative associations are pleased that the President has referred this matter to the Council of State.
I suppose people looking at it would say they may not want their armed forces to be political. They certainly may not want them to be participating in party political activity. What would your answer be to that?
I think there's a balancing act to be maintained between members of the Defence Forces not being overtly political, while at the same time being in a position to engage in civic society in such a way that it doesn't compromise their position of loyalty to the government or the state. And that's what's concerning for the Defence Forces. This is very new language that is being inserted, which seeks to, in many people's minds, erode the ability of members of the Defence Forces to participate in civic society. And it's worth pointing out that in Ireland, we've already got a very restrictive position in respect of Defence Forces personnel participating within political and civic society that is contrary to the position in many European countries, whereby members are afforded the opportunity to participate in political and civic affairs as well as protest.
Including speaking out on pay and conditions.
Exactly. And that's where the representative associations feel most concerned. Pay, terms and conditions, general conditions of service.
One element of this Defence Amendment Bill 2024 that was welcomed was the fact it will allow members of the representative bodies of the forces, the likes of RACO and PD4, would be allowed to associate with the Irish Congress of Trade Unions. That's regarded as a positive, but does the bill, as you see it, impinge on how effective they could be as representative organisations?
It's a very welcome development, and it will hopefully strengthen the representation that members have when petitioning for on issues relating to pay and terms and conditions of employment. However, there is a particular clause which notes that the Defence Forces representative associations can join such bodies. However, it could be subject to such conditions or restrictions as the Minister for Defence may apply. And that uncertainty as to what those restrictions might entail is causing a considerable degree of consternation, because if overly restrictive, it might defeat the entire purpose of joining a larger trade union representation body on behalf of members, if the powers that would ordinarily derive from such an association are quenched by the restrictions imposed by the minister.
And that was Barry Crushell there, former captain in the Defence Forces. He's now an employment solicitor speaking to me there. Now, still with me in studio are Minister Neil Richmond, Fine Gael TD, and Matt Carthy, Sinn Féin spokesperson on Foreign Affairs and Defence, and Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central. To you first, Minister Neil Richmond, the concerns that were echoed there by Barry Crushell, and indeed the President clearly has concerns if he's convening the Council of State, they're not new. The representative organisations of the Defence Forces, when speaking to the Oireachtas Committee, described some of the measures as draconian and some of the issues raised as a potential gagging order. On Section 11 of the Act, which is one of the ones going before the Council of State on Monday, it says that while in uniform or otherwise, a member of the Defence Forces should not make himself or herself should not comment on a political matter or matter of government policy. Now, it's very difficult if somebody stands up at the annual conference of a representative organisation that is there to represent people in the Defence Forces to make commentary if that provision in the bill is there. Would you accept that?
No, I wouldn't accept that. And the way the bill is drafted is quite clear that there are restrictions when serving members of Defence Forces are in uniform, restrictions around attending protests in uniform, restrictions around party political canvassing. I think we all should welcome that because of the need for our Defence Forces to be independent. But also when it comes to political comment, members of RACO or PD4, the recognised associations, are of course entitled to make their voices heard. They engage regularly with government, and this piece of legislation is a product of in-depth legislation responding to the concerns of those two representative bodies and retired members through the air to make sure that their voice is better heard and to allow them that level of association with the Irish Congress or trade unions.
But would you accept there is some ambiguity there that while when uniform or otherwise making himself or herself identifiable as a member of the Permanent Defence Force, a member should not make without prior authorisation from the member's commanding officer a public statement or comment in relation to a political matter or matter of government policy. People in representative organisations speaking at their annual conference would be identifiable as a member of the Permanent Defence Forces. Are they now required to get permission from commanding officers to speak at those conferences?
Well, I think what we do want to see, and what has always been the policy heretofore, is that when those conferences take place or when there's maybe engagement with the media, that there's a level of discussion within the Defence Forces about what is appropriate and what will be said. And I think that is to be welcomed because it is so very important to make sure that our Defence Forces are absolutely above politics.
Do you mean the representative organisations should pre-clear any remarks they might have on pay and conditions with the general staff?
No, not pre-clear, because it's their responsibility, but I think there should be that level of discussion. And what this legislation sets out is to make sure that we don't have a situation where we have serving members of Defence Forces going to rallies, canvassing, making political statements whilst in uniform. And I think that's very important.
Matt Carthy, your party's spokesperson on defence. Do you share the concerns that have led to this being referred to the Council of State and indeed of the representative organisations?
Yes, I followed this legislation from the start. It was a bad piece of legislation. Some of the worst elements of Micheál Martin's ambitions were removed from the bill during the course of the deliberations, but throughout every stage of the process, pre-legislative scrutiny, every independent witness that came before the committee outlined a significant concern around these particular provisions. There are the two main concerns and the reasons why Sinn Féin voted against the legislation was, one, this respect, this issue, which is essentially a gagging order, and that could have very far-reaching implications, far beyond what Neil has indicated. And then secondly, the establishment of an external oversight body will include the membership of the Secretary General of the Department of Defence. Bizarre, completely out of tune with most external oversight bodies, but will exclude the actual representative organisation. So that's the second area. Just I think it is positive that the president has sought the views of the Council of State, I think in one way or another there would be a constitutional challenge to this particular provision. And this wasn't one of those areas, you know, this obscure parts of the legislation that ends up coming before before the Supreme Court at some point. This was subject to amendments. Sinn Féin brought forward amendments looking for this provision to be removed from the legislation at both committee and report stage of the legislation. Government TDs enacted that. And just to be clear,
I just want to, because the provisions you're talking about, do you agree that members of the Defence Forces should not be involved in political activity?
Yes, party political activity, absolutely. Nobody has any dispute about that. And alternative wording was presented to the Minister in pre-legislative scrutiny that would protect that. Of course, you don't want to see uniformed members of our Defence Forces engaging in general political activity. But if you take this provision to its extreme, if a member of the Defence Forces was identified as such and attended a public meeting at their child's school in relation to criticism of the government for not building an extension or whatever the case may be, they could fall under the auspices of this legislation. Likewise, in respect of membership of ICTU, the legislation provides the power for any Minister for Defence in the future to actually stipulate a particular rank within the Defence Forces that won't be allowed and permitted to join the representative organisations. They are far-reaching powers to give to politics. So while we don't want to see our Defence Forces engaging in party political activity, I think it's also very important that we don't see any capacity for political interference in terms of the workings of our Defence Forces either.
Okay. Breed Smith, I suppose it's not unusual for employers to want employees to go through particular channels if they are to make commentary on the workings of an organisation, or at least allow their trade union representatives to make those statements. Do you see this as being different to that?
Yeah, very different. If you take, for example, the pilots who recently had a dispute with Aer Lingus, they didn't go through Aer Lingus to talk about their pay and conditions before they talked about it publicly. It's very different. And for all the period of time that I've been in the Dáil, PD4 has usually through their wives and families because they can't publicly speak out themselves or didn't feel comfortable about publicly speaking out, have been lobbying us about the pay and conditions of the members of the Defence Force, particularly those of a lower rank. And we've a crisis. We can't retain and recruit soldiers and sailors. And what are we doing here? Only putting them off more because it is, as was described by the representative associations, very draconian. But I would make a point, it's not the only employment, as you said at the beginning. I know people who work for the HSE who've been disciplined, sacked and suspended for criticising the HSE, even over things that affect the patients that they're looking after. The trolley crisis, the lack of facilities, you know, all sorts of things that go on, horrible things that go on in hospitals. And that is wrong, that you're not allowed to say anything about the conditions right in which you work, even though it affects the population negatively.
Neil Richmond, it is coming at a time of rock bottom low morale in the Defence Forces. Numbers are low, morale is low. The last time things were possibly like this was in the early 1990s when members of the Defence Forces' wives marched on barracks in order to protest about pay and conditions. If the representative organisations aren't effective or feel hamstrung, are we going to be back seeing armies, our soldiers' wives marching on barracks?
Well, I certainly hope not. And it's worth noting that there was a new cadet class introduced into our Navy just yesterday down in Cork. And what is key to remember that this is a product consultation. We do want PD4 and RACO, the two representative bodies, to have their voice heard more strongly. We want to meet a lot of the demands they have, and we recognise the very clear challenges across the Defence
Forces.
Should
they not be included on the external oversight body then?
Well, I think that's an area that I think that comes into an element of compromise. What we do want to see is allow members of our Defence Forces that associate membership of ICTU, not the direct membership of a trade union, because it's different when we're talking about the Defence Forces. But absolutely, the level of engagement this legislation will allow will actually be far more detailed and give us quite clear clarity.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see what happens on Monday with that meeting of the Council of State. It's time for a break now. We'll be back looking ahead to the inaugural session of the new European Parliament and that vote on Ursula von der Leyen after this.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.